was your question again?
How do we change?
How do we change? So if the question is, how do I change a specific problem that I'm having? Yeah, so that I can't deal with that in this class. I'll explain to you why not as we go ahead. I'm going to deal with this in very, very general terms. You have to use your maturity to know that I'm speaking in general terms, and that specific, how do I change this specific problem, or how do I go from here to here, has to be dealt with privately. You cannot, and that's why you'll never hear Shirim on the, let's just go back. We defined the change process as needing three things. You need to know where you are, you need to know where you're going, and you need to know how to get there. I can give you a share on the first one, I give a share on the last one. It's impossible to give a share to a large extent on the middle one, because that's going to be a very personal journey depending on who you are, where you are, where you're headed. You can't give a share on, you can give general basic guidelines, yeah, but you can never give a specific talk on process, the middle phase. So therefore, if your question is, how do I change this specific midah, so then that make an appointment with somebody and go speak to them privately. If we're talking klali, generally, how do I go about changing, so then we'll try and discuss the subject generally. Now, anybody in this room ever try to change something? It's about themselves, I'm not talking about your ta. I'm talking about, like, ever try to change anything? Anybody not ever try to change anything?
Midas,
anything relating to yourself.
Sure.
Behavior, whatever. Everybody here try to change, right? So you all know that it's very difficult, yeah? Trying to change something, you've made up your mind, you're going to change something, you're going to get out of bed earlier, you're going to get to bed earlier, you're going to stop slamming the door in your mother's face, you're going to, all those things, right, don't just happen because you made a decision to change them, right? They may be, they do, but to a large extent, everybody who's ever tried to change anything knows that there's kind of often a lot of resistance to change, yeah? Fine. So let's try and get in touch, first of all, what's the resistance? Because otherwise, what do you mean, how do I change? Change, no? You know Nancy Reagan's famous anti-drug campaign, yeah? Just say no. Imagine the 11-year-old Puerto Rican coke addict sitting in the inner city slums of New York thinking, why did I think of that? You know, like, just say no. That's easy, right? Okay, so we all know that Nancy's a bit out of touch with reality, yeah? At least on this score. Just say no is like, you know, come on, get out of here. Fine. So what are the problems? Okay, so let's just put it back into its little structure. There's real, ideal process. There's where I am, where I'm supposed to get to, or where I want to get to, or where the Torah says I have to get to, whatever you determine your ideal to be, and then there's the journey, how you get there, right? It's in my humble opinion that 99.9% of failed change takes place because of stage. Which would you say? Where are the problems? Where's the problem? Is the problem I don't know where I'm going to go, I don't know where I'm going, and therefore I can't change? Is the problem I don't have the tools to do it, or is the problem I don't know where I am?
A lot of everything.
Yeah, but where would you put your money on? The second one? The process. That's what everybody says, and that's what everybody wants. To show me how to do this already, yeah? That's why there a lot of people making a lot of money out there with sort of these self-guide help books. What drives that market is everybody wants to know, how do I get from where I am to where I want to go? Please show me. So you write books about that, right? You make a lot of money. And nobody ever, you know, fine. No, the truth is, the biggest problem that we have in changing is step one.
Wanting to change the club.
No. Oh, very good. I'm glad you raised that. We're talking here about somebody who wants to change. If you don't want to change, this conversation doesn't start. Obviously, you have to want to change, otherwise you're not going to change anything. We're talking to somebody who wants to change. How do I go about changing? It's something I want to change, and I'm finding it very difficult. If you don't want to change, yeah, forget about it.
Sort of like wanting to want to learn, sort of thing.
I'm just saying a person has to want to change. If you don't want to change, you're never going to get started. You're never going to take that first step out of real.
Even if you don't know where you are, though, where you're starting from, if someone says these are the tools you're going to need, so does it matter that much where you're starting from?
Yeah, you need
to. I'll show you why. Good. I'll show you why the biggest problem in change starts at the first stage. Let's call that stage for now as a working definition. Let's call that the stage of acceptance. Okay. If you don't know you have an anger problem, right? So then, changing anger problem is not possible. I can give you all the tools to change anger. Yeah, but if you don't know that you've got an anger problem, you're not going to take a step out of the real of being an anger addict.
Isn't that Sam's not wanting to change?
No, he doesn't know he has to. If he knew he was an anger addict, he would want to change. He doesn't know that he has a problem. He doesn't know that his anger addiction is a problem that needs to be dealt with. Can you see that? If a guy doesn't know he has a problem...
Yes, then he doesn't... So it's the same.
One second. You can call that not wanting to change. You can call that... He doesn't know he needs to change.
Okay.
The Rambam says there's certain things that ma'akev tshuva. He didn't know he did an avera, so he's not going to do change for that. Do you want to say he doesn't want to? He doesn't know he needs to want to. He doesn't know he's got a problem.
Okay.
Semantics. No? Okay. Look down in the details. I'm giving a very broad overview of the subject. If a person doesn't know he's got a problem, so then obviously he's not gonna do anything about it. It means he's not in touch with reality. That's really what the problem is. He's not in real. If a person knows he has an anger addiction, this is where you guys are gonna have a hard time with me. If a person knows he has an anger problem, but he thinks that he can do something about it, he's also not gonna be able to change. Let me ask you a following question. You have two guys, right? Let's use an alcoholic just for lack of a better victim, yeah? Which of the following two alcoholics do you think are more likely to change, right? The guy wakes up in the morning and says, yeah, I know I shouldn't be drinking and whatever, but yesterday I know I drank, but today I'll overcome it. Today I'm going to mamash, I read the book on how to stop being an alcoholic in 3 quick steps, and today I'm going to fight it, I'm not going to drink anymore, right? Okay. Or the guy that wakes up in the morning and you say to him, what are you going to do today? And he says, well, I'm an alcoholic, I'm still going to drink. You say to him, well, is there anything you want to do about it? You say to him, I just told him, I'm an alcoholic. If there was something I could do about it, I would do about it. If I could stop, I would stop. But I can't stop. If I could stop, then I would have stopped already. Who of those two do you think are more likely to be successful at the end of the day?
Obviously, we're going to choose the first one.
Right? You would choose the first one. Yeah, everyone would choose the first one. Yeah, everyone would choose the first one. The first one really wants to change, and he's got a grip on his problem, and he's doing everything he possibly can to do to change. The first guy's saying, well, and malasot. So you ask anyone who's ever worked in any addiction therapies. I'm using addiction for a very specific reason. I'll show you why just now. It's not because I'm just... that's my pet topic. It's just because the Rambam uses that marshal in a different kind of way. Is the second guy's most likely to stop being a alcoholic, because it's the Nancy Reagan story again. If I could just say no, I would have. One has to recognize the fact that you have a problem that right now you are unable to change, because if you would have wanted to stop, you would have stopped already. Assuming the guy wants to change. They both want to stop drinking. Yeah? So they both want to stop drinking. The one really thinks he can, and he's fighting and he's battling it. And one day when he wakes up one morning and he doesn't drink the whole day, he says, you see, I showed you I could do it. And what happens tomorrow when he drinks again? Slipped again. Whereas the same guy, when he wakes up one morning, he doesn't drink the whole day, he goes, wow, how did that happen? Wow, that's some kind of a miracle. That shouldn't have happened.
But he's just as likely to drink the next day.
And when he drinks the next day, he's not that surprised, because yesterday was a miracle. Who says you're going to have a miracle tomorrow?
So why is he going to stop, though?
Oh. Well, there's two questions. Why is he going to stop, and how's he going to stop? That was his question. How's he going to change?
Well, I mean, the way it sounds, he's just going to stop on accident, if he's going to stop in the slightest.
If it's an accident. Oh, so let's see what happens. Very good. What's going to happen to the first guy's in denial. Let's just get the first guy out of the way, because you don't really need him that much. The first guy is basically in what's called denial. He denies he has this problem. Or he doesn't understand the problem deeply enough.
The first guy's
in total denial. He hasn't accepted the fact that he's an addict yet.
No,
he thinks he has a drinking problem, but he doesn't admit that he's an addict. Because if he would admit that he's an addict, he would say, there's nothing I can do about this. If you would take out the first guy's file, right, take out his track record from the last 20 years, put it through at your computer and ask what chances are going to be that he's going to drink tomorrow, computer would say, mayachutz. And the second guy, same thing, mayachutz. The first guy believes the computer, and he believes it, and he says, you know, what are you going to do tomorrow? Well, based on my track record, probably, you know, pop the cork. Second guy, what's he saying? The first guy, what's he saying? Based on my track record? Yeah, I know. I've got a bad track record. But tomorrow I'm really going to do it. How's he going to do it? What's going to change tomorrow from today? Why hasn't he been able to stop
today? He's investigating ways to beat his addiction.
He hasn't acknowledged that he's an addiction yet. He has not acknowledged real yet.
What's the difference between a drinking problem and an addiction, isn't it?
Oh, a drinking problem is I drink, but I can stop. An addiction is I can't stop. I want to stop, but I can't, because if I wanted to, and I could, I would have.
Okay.
This is I'm trying to show you. This is where people trip up and change.
But then if someone's at the point where they're saying, I want to, if someone's saying, I can't change, but I want to, that's like hope. I hope I'll change. He's not doing anything about it.
He might be terribly disappointed about the fact that he can't change, but he actually can't. He knows he can't.
Then he stops wanting to change then.
One second, whoa, you're projecting far too far. You're going ahead, let's go. Let's just get in touch with real. We'll go down all those paths. You're projecting too far ahead, you're leaping. So one slow step at a time. One second. I told you there's going to be a lot of resistance to this.
To find addict.
Yeah, we'll find. I'm just using the word addict loosely here because I'm just trying to make the example quite extreme. When you play back into our own change systems, you'll see how this comes through. I'm just using the concept of an addict in an extreme form. Just one second. You're on three or four steps ahead of where I want to be right now. One second. You're leaping. The first guy. Let me ask you a question. Who's more in touch with real? The first guy or the second guy? Who knows where he is more?
The second guy.
Second guy. Because the second guy recognizes, I've got a big problem on my hands. I try to change, I couldn't. I've tried to stop. I wake up every morning desperately wanting to change, desperately wanting to stop.
The second guy doesn't say that, though.
The second guy, desperately wanting to, but he recognizes that he can't. He's accepted the fact that he can't. He has enough of a track record, he has enough experience with his own issues and his own struggle to recognize that I don't know how to change. I can't.
Of course, there's exceptions to these. Like I'm saying,
these are very general, right? I'm giving general overview principles. Right. Here. Uh-huh. You'll find very few exceptions in the addiction world, by the way, to this. Almost no exceptions. One in a million will get out of an addiction, serious addiction. Okay, not using this methodology, but those are rare, and I maybe know of one of two. Very, very unusual. If you look at this has nothing to do with what we're dealing with. Just as in parentheses, if you look at the 12 steps, which is the Hilchus change, if ever you wanted to look at it, amazing that two drunk Christians came up with like the whole of the Rambam, basically Kulu Tere Kulu, basically a pellet play. The first is I came to recognize that a problem that I couldn't solve. That's the first thing. The first step to any healing, any process, is coming to recognize that I'm out of control. Because if I could do something about it, I would. Real means this is where I am and this is where I'm stuck. Barring any intervention, barring any new factors on the ground, I'm stuck. Because I've tried everything, I've tried all the first guy stuff, I've also woken up in the morning, I'm never going to drink again, and I've used this book and that book and this, and hello, here I am again. Okay. And the first guy is in real. He's gone through all of that, the second guy. The second guy's gone through all the first guy's fights and struggles and denials, but he's now in real. He recognizes it as a real problem. Okay. So that's where most of us, in my humble opinion, come a cropper when we come to change. Now, I've seen this many times and I've fought with a lot of guys. Okay? Everybody fights this, especially a Baltruva. Baltruva has a real serious problem. Or anybody who wants to work on himself has a real problem here. Because you step into the Torah world, with an enormous amount of hope that I'm really going to change. You've seen people, you've been attracted by people who have made real serious changes in their lives, and the rabbi's telling you, you better accept where you are because you can't change. So I meet a lot of resistance when I deal with this thing, and you meet with a lot of resistance inside when you have to confront, how do I get in touch with real? So real requires a little bit of unreal. So it seems like a stereo, but it's not. Real requires you, for a while anyway, while you're investigating the subject that you're trying to change, to put away any hope and desire of changing the problem. Obviously, you want to change it, otherwise you wouldn't be spending time getting to know it, right? But you have to put aside and accept the problem as it is without any desire to change it whatsoever. It's like a frozen laboratory kind of experiment, Because if not, then look what happens. I recognize that I have a problem, right? So I start looking at the problem and I realize, well, that's quite a bad problem. I really am an anger addict. You know what the Torah says about anger? Gehenna's, and it's the worst thing, and Hashem doesn't want anything to do with it. Nah, so I can't have that problem. That can't be my problem. I haven't even let the problem land, and I've already got five ways how it's going to look different tomorrow, how I'm going to change. You know what I'm talking about? You have to see the stuff working inside yourself. I don't know anybody who hasn't been through this. The minute you start looking at a problem you have, it's very hard to look at the negative stuff that you've got inside yourself. You either start denying that it's a problem, or Gava starts getting in the way and says, no, it's just like, it's his fault. Every time he pushes those buttons, it's because of my upbringing, it's because, we never actually allow the problem to just sit firmly, squarely on the table. So they'll take out the x-rays, the doctor calls somebody in and he shows that he wants to show him where the lump on his brain is, Rahman al-Islam, right? Yeah, the guy's going to deny it in the beginning. We know that. You get bad news, yeah? You get bad news. So you deny the bad news until, you know, it takes a while for that bad news to sink in and settle in for you to accept the bad news. So we do all sorts of weird things to get rid of the bad news. Yeah, the doctor, he has no problem. He takes it up and he looks at it and he's going to analyze it. He's going to look at that tumor for 6 months before he takes it and cuts it out, because you've got to understand it well, yeah? The guy who they took the x-ray off, in the first few weeks, he's denying the fact that there was even an x-ray. We do that all the time to protect ourselves from reality. So acceptance means I've got to sit and look at this problem hardcore. I've got to put it on the operating table and I've got to look at it and understand it and analyze it and become very, very close with this problem.
Is this a pre-existing issue, or is this now only in this generation, or has this all been throughout every generation?
I don't know any other way of changing other than working through this process. Obviously, within each thing, there's multiple ways of dealing with this, yeah? But the overall dynamic, there is no other way. There is no other way. I've said it a few times in this room recently. If you want to go somewhere, you have to know where you are. You have to know where you want to get to, and you need to have some kind of idea of how you're going to get there. Yeah? If you don't know where you are, you cannot get to where you're going to. You could fall in there by mistake. You know, you think you're in Jerusalem and you need to get to Tel Aviv. So you set out on a journey and you land up in Baghdad, because you weren't in Jerusalem, you were in Bombay. You understand? The chance of you arriving in Tel Aviv, if you don't know where you're leaving from, the chance of you getting there are very, very small. I mean, it's potluck. If you really want to go to where you want to go, you better know where you're leaving from.
But if all you know is head this direction and go to Tel Aviv.
So how can you know to go in that direction?
I'm saying that you know the way to go and you know where you're going. Well, you need to know where you are. You might be 1 kilometer from Tel Aviv, you might be 100.
I might be in the other direction. 1 second. Let's say I'm here and Tel Aviv's here.
Yeah.
Right? So which direction would you go in? I would go here.
Obviously.
What happens if I don't know where I am in relation to Tel Aviv? Where would you go? So I could go there, I could go there, I could go there, I could go there, I could go there.
Yeah, but that's not knowing the way to go.
If I don't know where I am, I can never work out the way to go.
You said there are three things: where you are, where you're going, and
if you don't know where you are, you'll never get there.
No, I'm saying if all you know is how to get there, go this direction.
Ah, you told me, yeah, but how would you even know how to get there if you don't know where you are? How are you going to take one step out of real if you don't know where you're standing?
If someone says, do this, or whatever.
Ah, someone does, fine, okay. Who's going to help you to do this if I don't know what your problem is? I understand. If you don't know what your problem is, how are you going to know which direction to go in? If you don't know you're an anger addict, why would you take out the books that deal with how to get rid of anger addiction? Someone tells you, you've got an anger problem, kid, fix it up. Here's the manual. You're gonna do that? How are you going to do that? You're right. If you're one of those rare individuals who really has so much in risk of
problem. No, you realize that you're somewhere away from Tel Aviv, obviously. But you don't know exactly where you're starting from. You don't know, Bidiuk, where you are. But
you're not in Tel Aviv right now. That's the problem. Also,
you could be in the middle of Tel Aviv right now. Maybe you're in Tel Aviv.
In fact, I'm saying, if all you know... I don't need to know where I'm holding in my anger or wherever it is.
Yes, you do. I'll show you.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know where you're holding, if you don't know what's real, if you have any... Once again, I said, let's call this acceptance. Forget about the fact that you need to know. You actually have to accept the fact that you're an anger addict. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You have to really hard call with all the pain that comes with accepting your shortcomings. You have to accept the fact that I have the shortcoming.
Will this also answer if someone has like a dozen of these? Like, because people have more.
We have multiple ones. Yeah, we'll deal with it. I'm just trying to get the. This is a long discussion. We're not going to get this. Yeah, comes Elul and they say to you, right, pick one to work on. Right, you spend the whole of Elul deciding which one to work on. You work on none of them. Yeah. Avoidance Elul is deciding which one to work on. Yeah, you don't do anything about any of them. Yeah, multiples, and very often in one area you're in real, in one area you're already reached ideal, in another area you're sort of like blundering around in process, in another area you're trying to just even accept the fact that you have a problem. Multiple stuff going on in a human life. Human condition is multiply complex. I'm just trying to isolate it and just discuss and just look at one piece.
You could gain more as well.
I think everybody understands intuitively, if you don't know where you are, you're going to have a hard time getting to where you have to get to. If you have somebody helping you and guiding you and showing you how to get there in the meantime, that's great. That's what a Rebbe is. That's what a counselor is. That's what a mentor is. Avada. Until a person reaches some level of deep inner awareness, so then, yeah, you need somebody who's guiding you along. You don't really know where you are, but I'm sort of egging you along in the right direction. You know, sort of put you on the Tel Aviv highway and say, keep going straight. Fine, okay. But you understand that's a far cry from a real inner process of change.
Is there also, like, is what we have... we had already, or is it, can we get even like more of these issues? Like, if I don't have an anger issue now, is it possible for me to get it?
Ask anyone who got married.
So
I've had so many Bokhrim coming to me after the wedding and saying, I never got angry in my life. I never got angry. So yes, your midas can change. Is that what you're asking? Can my midas change?
By
yes.
Fixing one, can I cause another one to be bad?
Once again,
By fixing my anger issue, getting to the ideal, am I causing now something
you won't else? Cause now. You can't by doing something positive create something negative. But what you can do is megale another midah that you weren't aware of, that Hashem says, ah, you've taken care of anger, here comes the next one. As the Vilna Gaon says, you're in this world to change your midas. So until they transfer you to the next world, you're going to be working on bad midas all the time. So yeah, right now I'm not aware of a certain bad midah I have, because Hashem lets me deal with this bad midah. But the minute this one's finished, the next one's going to kick in. Yeah. If it's not taiva, it's going to be gaiva. If it's not gaiva, it's going to be taiva. If it's not covered, it's going to be, yeah. You're always going to be grappling with something.
I'm saying, if I'm going to fix one, then there would never be a possibility for another one just to appear.
It's going to appear. It was always there.
No, I'm saying Megala is different than...
I said, that's why I chose the word Megala. No, there's not going to be a new bad midah arising. There are ways of messing up your midahs and getting new bad midahs, but that's not by correcting. You can't do a positive act of changing a midah and that causes a bad midah. No. Fine, you got it. Okay, fine. I'm not here for a debating. You got it? Is that clear? You asked the question, I've answered it. Now you got another question?
Yeah.
Fine. What's the next question? This is in CNN.
My next question is that if I'm in the process of fixing one, is
I don't know what it means fixing. What do you mean by fixing?
In the process of
I'm going on a journey from real to ideal. Real, yeah, okay.
Is that a deterrent for a new bad meter to come up?
But if Hashem needs that new midah to megal itself and mechazek itself, or for a new bad midah to come in, then it's going to happen. I don't know.
Are you asking by fixing one, does it automatically help others also?
Yeah.
No, that's not what he's asking.
As well.
No, that's not what he asked. That's a different question. That's not. You're asking another question. But once again, we're off the wall here. We're not talking about fixing midahs. We're in the world of accepting the fact that I have bad midahs. You're already into the. You're already into Shia 27, where we actually start working on the word of process. Oh, just on the world of acceptance right now. We've just started. We haven't got clear. Okay, just. Okay. Fine. So, acceptance means I recognize I have a problem and I recognize that I'm out of control and there's nothing I can do about it. If there's something you can do about it, do something about it, yeah? If you have a leaking tap, force it, yeah? So, change the washer. Don't sit there like, wow, really? You're like, what's that noise? Force it. Why don't you fix it? I'm working on acceptance. You're working on being an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Fix it. If you can fix something, fix it. Yeah.
That's lazy.
But in the world of midas and in the world of change, in the world of self-growth, and that's what I started out explaining, there's a very big leap between the world of fix it and the world of real serious process. Real healthy change. The Western world works in the world of fix it. Yeah, you've got a problem, fix it. Just fix it. Yeah. Whenever you hear the word just,
just do it.
To do something, be very, very careful. It's bordering on being abusive. If ever you're saying to your kids, like, well, just catch yourself very quickly. It's that fix it modality kicking in, okay? Don't just do anything. Fine. So, once you've accepted the fact that you have to get in touch with acceptance, so then you'll see a lot of resistance to this. As I said, there's bad meters that start kicking in. This guy that starts kicking in and says, me? No, I don't have an anger problem. It's all called denial. You're not getting in touch with reality. You have to get in touch with reality. What do you do in the meantime? This is really what usually people say. So you mean I can just carry on being angry? You know, like, but the Torah says it's bad. I've learned the ideal. I know what the ideal is. The ideal is you're supposed to be, as the Rambam says, there's nothing in this world ever worth getting angry about. Nothing. Nothing ever worth ever getting angry about. That's the ideal. You never get angry. No matter what happens, yeah, you're just always like chilled and relaxed, calm. And that's the ideal. We know what the ideal is, right? And you're telling me that I have to accept the fact that I'm angry. I'm always going to be angry. I'm waking up doing avodas all the time. What am I going to? You've got to help me. I've got to change. Well, that's also denial. Well, why do you keep getting angry? Because I told you I'm angry. What are you going to do in the meantime? Moshe Rabbeinu allowed Klal Yisrael to walk around for 40 years in the Midbar with a whole bunch of problems and broken pieces or whatever, and he never said a word to them until he was just about to die, and then he blasted them with all their problems. Now you come? Where you been for 40 years? We've been walking around with broken pieces for 40 years. So now, anybody who's even taken a cursory look at themselves understands, no matter what you're working on or where you are, you're always going to be walking around with broken pieces. Because we are not Sholem and we are not complete. So we're going there, we're striving there, but what do you do in the meantime? For example, comes Elul and you want to change something, yeah? Now you know that you're going to only change one thing at a time. In Elul, all the Balei Mus, everyone says, choose one thing. What about all the other things? So you have to accept the fact that this is my avoider now. What about everything else? Lo alecha hamalocha ligmo. Learn this mission off by heart, get into your head, it's your best friend in this journey. It's not all or nothing. You've got to get lo alecha hamalocha ligmo into your kishkas. If you don't have that working for you, you're never going to change anything because you're always going to be running around changing the next thing. And as you start working on the next thing, all the other things are going to pop up and say, what about me? What about me? What about me? You have to be able to say, well, stop, breaks. I'm working on this. Why did I choose this? That's the whole shiur. Why do you choose to work on this and not that? That's a whole discussion why you choose to work on one thing over the other. Usually a person knows what he needs to work on. You usually know what's driving. You usually know what your problems are. Yeah? It's not always very often. Your problem is not getting out of bed on time in the morning. So it could be that your problem is going to sleep too late. Yeah? Could be whatever. You understand? But usually everyone's pretty aware of what's, you know, what's the issue. What do you keep tripping up in? When was the last time you did a really new Aveira that you never thought of before? You know, Mechadish something. The Yetzer usually comes back with the same old stuff. It's very unusual that you find yourself doing something like, wow, I never done that before. That's enough. When you're trying to give up smoking, yeah? So then the battle is trying to give up smoking. It's very unusual that the Yetzer or something like completely off the wall comes with something. You know, it's usually the same old. What did you clap our chait last year on? On the stuff you did the year before. Oh, here we go again. Yeah, no, this time I'm really going to change it. I'm really going to make brachos b'chuponah this year. We all know what the Yom Kippur dynamic looks like. So you have to accept the fact that lo alecha malocha ligmo. You have a thing, you have a job that you have to do. Don't get garbedic and think that you're Mr. Superman, you can do it all at once. You have to accept the fact that this is who I am. Because Bocha created me with all these bad midas, all these good midas, and I'm now working on this bad midah. Obviously, in reality, you often have to grapple with more than one. But I'm saying, in the world of theory, it's fine to be working on one thing, not because it's okay, but because that's what it is. It's not because it's okay or it's not okay. I don't know if it's okay or not okay. I just know that that's what is, and what is what is, and I can't change what is. Okay. Let's stop there, and we'll continue on Sunday.